Hey, good morning, church. Now, I imagine some of you are like me and you're still tapping your foot to that last song that we just sang. Was that not just a great medley of songs? Hey, I truly hope that wherever you are today, that you are surrounded by people and experiencing the love of what Christmas is all about. And the Bible says that Jesus was given a name of Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And so I just wanted to invite you, wherever you may be, to just take a moment and recognize that God is with you. Just look around. Maybe some of you are sitting in the living room, you're sitting next to the tree. Maybe some of you are in the kitchen, you're preparing for the meal coming up. Maybe some of you are actually in a car and you're driving somewhere, but just take a moment, if you would, and just recognize that God is with you. I mean, in fact, mark this moment. Don't let it escape from you. Take just a few seconds and invite God to make himself known to you because he's right there with you. In fact, I'm going to just lead us in a time of asking God to do that right now. So, Father, I would just ask that wherever we may be watching online, that God, you would meet with us right now. In the living rooms, the cars, the offices, or wherever it may be. God, would you make yourself known today? Would we not miss you in this moment that we have together today? Would you speak to our hearts? Father, would you do in us today what you desire to do as we celebrate not only the birth of Christ, but this season of life that we find through Christ? So this is our prayer now. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, I hope that your Christmas has been special. I want to ask you, though, what is your favorite Christmas story? I'm talking about the stories that are made into movies. You know, as a kid, it was something of the expectation and tradition in the Wheat family that we would all at some point gather around and watch It's a Wonderful Life, that would then be followed later on by watching Miracle on 34th Street. Now, I realize that for some of you, you have no idea what I'm talking about, but those are great classic Christmas movies. In fact, there's another one. It's called The Christmas Story. And I'm not talking about the one that's in the Bible. I'm talking about Ralphie, and all he really wanted was a Red Ryder BB gun. Some of you remember watching that. Great Christmas story. And there's others along the way, too. There's Home Alone, right? The Santa Claus and the Santa Claus 2 and the Santa Claus 3. And of course, we have to mention Elf. Hey, there's never been a lack of Christmas stories that have been made into great movies. In fact, if you were to come to my house and you look on my DVR, you would see that it's 95% full. And there's 91 Christmas movies on there right now. My wife has a problem. I mean, she has a passion for Christmas. There's a lot of great stories out there, but not just the stories that are made into movies. Hey, what is your favorite Christmas story? Or what is your favorite Christmas memory? Maybe for some of you, you're like me, and we can reflect back and think to those times where we left the cookies out for Santa Claus and how he ate them, left a few crumbs, and maybe left a note. For me and my siblings, there are many memories of us as kids as we were hiding behind the couch, hoping to kind of catch him in the act, so to speak. We never did, of course. It might be the memories or the stories you tell of the family getting together around meals and during the Christmas holidays, or going to Christmas Eve services or decorating the tree. Wonderful Christmas stories for many of us that have shaped us and influenced us. Hey, lots of Christmas stories that we could talk about, but no doubt the greatest Christmas story is captured in the Bible. In fact, the Bible is nothing but a Christmas story because page after page points to the story of Christ. In Luke's account, we find a narrative that captures the before, the during, and even the after of the Christ being born. In Luke chapter 2, there's an amazing story. I mean, think of it, a holy, righteous, all-powerful God who comes to us in the form of a lowly human baby through a virgin who gives birth to him to an audience of barnyard animals. And as we follow his story, we see that he lived a perfect life, a sinless life, only to die a cruel death on a criminal's cross. For those of us who acknowledge him as Lord and receive forgiveness of the sins that we have committed and that separate us from God, and by the fact that he conquered death, that one day all who believe in him would live with him for eternity in heaven. I mean, that's remarkable. That is really an unbelievable story of a God like that. But it's a true story. Today, what I'd like to do is just to zero in on a few verses out of Luke chapter 2 that follow shortly after Jesus was born. And this is what the Bible writes, or says, in Luke chapter 2, verse 15. The shepherds had been out in the fields. They had already been visited by the angels. And then the angels have gone back to heaven. And this is what Luke writes. When the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Well, let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they hurried off, and they found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who were lying in a manger. After seeing them, they reported the message that was told to them about this child, and all who heard it, listen to this, all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary was treasuring up all of these things in her heart and meditating on them. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen and heard, which is just as it had been told. It's an amazing story. And as I read through that, there's such wonder about it for me. Do you think they really had any idea of what was going on? I mean, the dampness of that area, the smell of the animals, the straw, shepherds showing up and telling this incredible story about angels visiting them, and the pregnancy that was miraculous, and of course, the birth of Jesus. I don't think they really had any idea. I mean, maybe speculations, maybe wonder, maybe amazement for sure, but idea, I don't think so. And then verse 17 is a fascinating interlude to what was being said by the shepherds. They're telling the story and everyone's astonished. Everyone's amazed in awe of the story of what was happening. But the Bible says, but Mary treasured these things. She pondered on them. She thought and she rethought about them. The actual Greek word could be better translated, kept safe. In other words, she tucked those stories and what was happening. She tucked them deep into her heart. She kept them there for times that she could think and rethink and meditate on them. She took all that she was hearing and seeing, and she put them in her heart and pondered on them. She most likely smiled and wondered at some parts of it, I'm sure. She probably got lost in disbelief in other parts. And maybe there were even times where she was confused as she was processing all of this and wondering what was going on. And maybe some of you are the same way. The story of Christmas might bring a smile to your face as you recall some of those childhood memories or the stories that we were just talking about. We celebrate peace on earth and goodwill to all. Yet, maybe for some, there's also a disbelief or a confusion. You're not sure that you get it, or maybe for some who are watching today, you're not even sure that you really want to get it. You wonder, you doubt, you're just not sure. Like Mary, you're processing it, you're reflecting, you're pondering, hey, what is the meaning of all of these stories about Jesus? The story of the shepherds that they were telling was incredible. It affected people. The Bible says that people were amazed and astonished. And Mary was even moved. When it comes to Christmas, what story are you telling? See, we're all storytellers. We tell a story with our words. The shepherds talked about what the angels had shared with them. What do you share? What do you talk about at Christmas time? So often at Christmas, we have the prime opportunity to talk about Jesus, yet so often we find ourselves talking about the presents or the people that we're visiting with, or the Christmas music, or the sounds that we see, or the movies that we watch, and we can leave Jesus out of the story. Possibly some of you joining us today can't really talk about Jesus to others because you've never really met him. Today, the greatest gift that you could receive would be the gift of forgiveness, of love, of salvation, of peace, of joy, of all those things that are found in Jesus. Nothing would thrill the heart of God more today than if, like the shepherds, you found Jesus. If right now you sense that you need to do that, can I ask you just to do something? Would you click on that live prayer and ask one of the hosts to kind of help you understand more about Jesus? They'll be glad to do that. Or you could go to shades.org/info and just leave us some information. Leave us your question, and then one of our staff will follow up with you. Many of you here watching this today have already met Jesus, though. You know the story. Can I ask you to consider this week to join the shepherds and tell someone the story of Jesus in your life? Mary heard what they had said about Jesus, and she tucked it in her heart. There's some people in your life, some people that you'll encounter this week, that you'll have the opportunity to put the story of Jesus into their heart. I hope that you will. Would you consider that? See, we tell a story with our words, but we tell a story with our life too. These shepherds heard of Jesus from the angels, and they changed what they were doing. They left their fields in order to go find Jesus. See, finding Jesus mattered to them. After seeing him, they went back to their fields. They went back to their jobs. They went back to their lives, if you will. But they went back glorifying God. They were changed from the encounter of meeting Jesus. They were different, and everyone knew about it. So what story are you telling by how you live your life? This week or this new year, for those of us who've met Jesus, we have the opportunity to live in such a way that helps bring the story of Christmas to those around us, not just once a year, but every day of the year. I have a friend whose motto is "Live the story." Will you live the story of your life with trust in Christ, so that when others read your life, they see Jesus? Will you live the story for others to be able to see forgiveness? To live in such a way where they see you experiencing peace among a really chaotic time. To live in such a way where there's joy or kindness. To live with truth. To live with generosity. Would you live with love? At the heart of Christmas, we find that's the one central story, by the way. It's the story of love. 1 John 4 says it this way: God showed how much he loved us by sending his only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. It's not that we loved God, but that he first loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Christmas has many parts of the story. Now, there's the hope. There's peace, there's joy, but the greatest story we see in Christmas is love. God sent Jesus. That's real love. See, love is something you do. I mean, real love calls for us to give. So every Christmas season, we sing these songs, we see movies, we see children lost in wonder, we see the nativity scenes. And behind all of it is love. The Bible says that God is love. And if love is giving, then the nature of God called for him to give, and he gave us Jesus, his Son. It was the only way for us to know God. And that is the story of Jesus. But let me ask you, what story might be written of you? Hey, when I was a kid, around 10 years old, I was asked to spend the night. It was around Christmas time, and I was asked to spend the night with my best friend, Herbie. We were out of school, so it was actually going to be like a two-nighter. I was super excited about that. Well, the second day, it started to snow. Now, living in South Carolina, it was a rare experience for us to have snow. And so that made it even more exciting for us. It snowed, and it snowed, and then it stopped snowing, but it rained, and it froze, and then it snowed again. It was known as the Blizzard of 73. If you look it up now, it is the worst blizzard that South Carolina has ever had. and I was at Herbie's house. That two-nighter turned into a five-nighter. Now, remember that this is before the days of cell phones and computers, and we lived about 5 miles away from Herbie. We lived outside of town. About the fourth day, it had stopped snowing and it stopped raining, but it was incredibly cold. Herbie and I were having a great time. Not so sure about his parents, but we were having a ball what we were doing. Early in the afternoon, the doorbell rang. We opened the door, and there stood my dad. I'll never forget the sight of him. He had these big rubber boots on. I'm not talking about the insulated kind, but the big rubber boots. And in fact, he put on three pairs of socks and just kind of stuffed his foot down into them. He had his overalls on. See, my dad, he grew up on a farm, so he loved to work on cars, and he loved to do carpentry work, and he was probably as comfortable in coveralls as he was in any other outfit. But I noticed how tight they were, and he said he had several layers on up underneath them. He had his work gloves on. I'm not talking about the nice, super insulated kind. I'm talking about he actually took a sock and he put his hand in the sock, and then he stuffed his hand down in his old brown work gloves. And to top it all off, he had a toboggan. Now, I think today we call them beanies, but back then we called them toboggans. And it was kind of bright, and it had that little white ball right on top of it. Hey, in any other situation, honestly, I probably would have hid myself from my dad because he just really wasn't the most appealing sight. He had a scarf that was pulled tight around his face, and all I could see was a little bit of his eyes and his cheeks. It was really cold. You could see his breath. His cheeks were red and dry. I remember Mrs. Grant saying something about coming in, but he said, well, with all the layers he had on, he'd probably be too warm to do that. He said that he figured that I needed some clothes, so he wanted to bring them to me. I asked how he got there, and he said he walked. You walked? He said, yeah. He said it was still too icy to drive. And in fact, on the way there, he noticed that there had been a couple of accidents that already happened. So he walked through icy snow to bring me some clothes. And then he handed me a paper sack. He said, your mom thought you might need these. He said something to Mrs. Grant about not staying too long, but I was just staring at the bag. It's a little moist by that time. It was really cold. It had just a few different pieces of clothes in there. He said that he needed to get back, and that when it thawed out in a day or two, that he would come pick me up. My dad was there at the door. He looked like the abominable grease monkey, honestly. But he waved and he said goodbye and he started walking back. And I can still see him walking away. That sack of clothes in my hands. As a kid, I really didn't understand it. I thought my dad was crazy, honestly. But inside of me, I felt something, and it felt good. I felt kind of warm, and I felt a sense of peace. I actually just felt loved. All of that from a sack of clothes and a visit from my dad. I'm able to look back now and understand it a bit more. See, the need wasn't so much about the clothes that I needed as it was my dad's need to love me. Who would have thought that a sack of clothes would have meant anything to a 10-year-old kid, but it was that message that I received behind the sack of clothes that really mattered. It was the message of a father who loved me enough to come and visit me, regardless of how difficult the journey might have been along the way, so that my needs would be met and that I would know that I was loved. All of that from a sack of clothes. My dad did a lot for me as a kid because he loved me. But that time, that winter walk that he took, has stuck in my head and heart and shaped me for almost 50 years now. To you, it might just be a paper sack, but to me, it was love. I didn't maybe get it at the time, but I understand now, and I treasure that memory of that. that story because of what it did for me. Hey, to you, Christmas may be about the family getting together. It may be about presents. It may be about travel or time off. It may even be about a baby. But to me, it's the story of love. I believe in my dad and his love for me. And what he did on that cold, snowy day in December proved that. That was real love. But I believe in God and his love for me too, because what he did away in a manger proved that too. It's more than a song. See, it's real love. And that's a story to tell. And just as I took that sack of clothes from my dad, maybe today you might receive the gift of love from the Heavenly Father that you would receive by placing your faith in Jesus, his son. Hey, Mary treasured the story that she was hearing. She put it in her heart, and no doubt it changed her. It blessed her. Maybe today you might consider blessing someone else by telling the story of Jesus. Or maybe today you might even bless God by believing in the story of Jesus. May you today be blessed by the real story of Jesus. Would you pray with me? So, Father, I thank you for Jesus, and that, God, you sent him long ago to be born into this world so that, Father, we could know you through a relationship with him. I thank you for the real story of love that we see in Jesus. And I pray that today, Father, as we write stories through our lives in these weeks, months, and years to come, that, Father, the story that we would be writing, the story that we would be living, and the story that we would be telling would be that of Jesus and the love that you have for us through him. So thank you for this Christmas season. Thank you for, God, our time of worship gathering here. May you continue to write the story in our life that you desire to be glorified in every way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.